and gentlemen, to another episode of Yankees and Gravy. I'm your host. My name is Tommy Casamona, recording live, well, it's live to me anyway, from directly, basically, under the Triborough Bridge, which is just maybe a few short miles away from Yankee Stadium. And unlike up here at Yankee Stadium, it is very, very nice and sunny down in Florida. We got to look at that, and how good is it nowadays? It's good. You just love it. You know, when baseball ends, it's just such a long season, but then when it goes away, it just feels like it's even longer almost. I mean, I love football, but if you're a New York fan right now and you don't like hockey like I do, if you like hockey, I mean, it's pretty exciting, but I'm not a hockey guy. So, man, the Knicks are killing me. New York football was just abysmal, and here we are. So, I mean, who knows how long the Yankees are going to hold out. The Mets look pretty good, but for right now, it's all about the beginning. It is preseason. We're going to be watching and waiting and anticipating for everything, hopefully, good that's going to come out of Tampa, and hopefully we're going to get, you know, some miracle is going to happen, and no Yankees are going to get hurt, and we're going to be able to contend for a wild card or maybe a division. I saw today that the experts are saying that the Yankees have basically a 40-1 chance to win the World Series. Man, how far have we come from the days of even just like, you know, 6-7 years ago when we just basically had as good a chance as anybody year in, year out. It's rough. It's depressing, but it is what it is. The weather's depressing, but I'm excited. Again, we're still in it now, and we still have as good a chance as anybody. Nobody's hurt. Everybody's fresh. Well, Nova's hurt, but beyond that, I don't know. Nobody's going to get hurt, right? I could dream. Again, like I said, I keep saying this, just team is so enigmatic. You don't know what the hell's going to happen. If everybody stays healthy, it's all smiles right now. If everybody stays that way and doesn't get hurt, we are going to have a good baseball team. But, again, the inevitable always sets in. So where are we right now? This is the last day before the position players are going to head down to Tampa. I should say this is the day, actually. It's the 25th, so it's officially Wednesday. And they will be practicing later on today. Just to recap the last couple of days, before we get into the A-Rod, which is a whole, I mean, we all know A-Rod is a planet unto himself, so the world revolves around A-Rod, so we have to treat that as such, and we'll get to A-Rod, and we'll give him his own little, I guess, segment or whatever, but it's good to see McCann was down there today, as well as Beltran and Headley, all those guys, and those are three guys, you know, I mean, I guess, you know, what does it mean that they're down a day or two early? It doesn't mean much, but I guess if nothing else, it says that there is a little bit of excitement about them, and they're just happy to be there. It's a long, long, long season. When you talk about spring training, if you're lucky enough to make it to the postseason, you're playing a lot of days of a lot of baseball, and it's very, very easy to make the, the rationale that why come in a day early? Because once you go in, it's a freaking grind, and that's what they're doing. They're coming in a little bit early. So Headley, he's the third base guy. Some quotes out of him in the last couple of days. So he's there, and they're asking him, I guess, a bunch of questions, you know, obviously because A-Rod's there. You know, and he's doesn't seem to be wanting to give up his third base position. And I guess, you know, why should he? He just signed a friggin' four-year, $48 million contract. Now, guy hit .260, six home runs in like 50 games or so, something like that for the Yankees. Are those bad numbers? No, but damn, $10+ million a year for that. I don't know. I'm just saying. Like, I just feel like we should have just gotten ourselves one star. I don't want to jump all over the place, but Headley's a good player, and I guess we kind of need him because of the filling. But just look at second base, shortstop, and third base. That's just pure lackluster. What are you gonna say? It's they're good. And let me back up, okay? You guys are gonna listen to this podcast and be like, this freaking guy's a Yankee fan? I mean, yes. Let me explain something to you. I am a cynical Yankee fan. Okay, don't mistake me for somebody who's not a Yankee fan or a Yankee hater. I love the Yankees. I've been in love with the Yankees since 1980, which is 35 years now, and I'm 40. So I'm telling you right now, it just, for someone who's, I grew up, and if you know those years and if you did your homework, after that first couple years, which I barely remember, getting into 1982 on, you know damn well how long I've suffered as a Yankee fan. So, I mean, my dad used to take me to the games, and, you know, you guys watched the old highlights of the Yankee Classics. They blocked out the whole portions of the upper deck. So we're still in that golden age where we still are selling tickets, and we're not back to those days yet. But I don't know. I'm just saying, when you know, we need a couple stars, you know what I mean? We got a couple of guys we can hang our hats on, so a couple of guys we can really go to see play every day. Who's the guy right now? To me, it's honestly, it's Betances. That's the guy that you're going to go to see every day and watch play. Everybody else is, I mean, either average to good player or a huge question mark. Tanaka obviously is a guy you want to go see play if he's healthy, but a lot of question marks. So let's get into it. I don't know. So Headley, going back to Headley, he's got the little swagger going, and he's happy that he's making his $10-plus million a year, 4 years, $48 million. And he said, he made this statement that I thought was a little weird. While it may be true, I don't think you say it. His quote was, if I was told I wasn't going to be playing third base, basically saying, if I was told I was going to have to play either first base or the outfield, I wouldn't be coming here. I mean, I don't know. First of all, fine, if that's how you feel, don't come here. Second of all, are you going to get the four-year, $48 million that you got here somewhere else? I don't know. Maybe you would have. But Headley, I'm in your corner. I'm in, no pun intended, the hot corner. But I want to see what you could do. You got to prove some stuff to me. Headley, if you don't come out of this with 20 home runs, 80 RBIs, well, maybe not 20. Between 15 and 20 home runs, 80 RBIs, you failed as a third baseman. All right, let's get into the lightning rod, the planet, the singular most superstar entity on the New York Yankees, the person who can get droves of media members to show up the minute he decides to walk on in his Miami Hurricanes warm-up gear. Just by his mere presence, the earth shakes. Alex Rodriguez. So he shows up early. That's the big news. It's like there's an A-Rod cam on ESPN. I'm at work, and we got the TVs on. And I work at a bar and a restaurant, by the way. So I'm walking around, and you know, you see the TVs pop on, and boom, breaking news. A-Rod shows up to camp. He told no one, and this is correct. I mean, when you're A-Rod, I guess you really, really should be telling people when you're showing up. If you're freaking Headley, if you're McCann, no, who cares? But you know what you're getting into with A-Rod, and A-Rod probably should have given the PR people, the physical people, the coaches, everybody a heads up. You know when you walk on with your boxes of bats, slow stride, walking around, feeling good, confident, 39 years old, looking like you're 28, strutting onto the field, you know what that's going to do. So out of courtesy, out of the past historical events that you've been involved with, I probably would be a little bit ginger with my steps, and I probably would have let somebody know. Having said that, is it the biggest deal? Probably not. I think he said, you know, just it's the minor league complex, and it's pre, you know, official major league workouts. So he said he's done that before, and he didn't think it was a big deal. I mean, again, we said it in the last podcast. When A-Rod's lips are moving, chances are you have to assume that he's lying. So who knows? You take that for what it is. I don't know. I mean, they say this all the time, and I really never understood it. When you know, there's people who lie so much, they start to believe their own lies. I never really understood that comment. How could you believe your own freaking lies without being a completely insane person? But I guess that's the rub there. You're completely insane. But in Alex Rodriguez's situation, I think that might be a little true. I think he may maybe not necessarily believe his own lies, but I certainly don't think he has any idea where the truth ends and the lies begin. So in his mind, he was just doing what he normally does by showing up. No idea that it's going to turn the sports world on its back. So he's there. I mean, honestly, to be honest with you, it was a good idea. It really was. I mean, maybe the Yankees would have frowned upon it because it just seems like it is what it is, and the Yankees have just made the executive decision to go to war with A-Rod at every step of the way. But and you can't necessarily blame them because of the events that did come out. I guess the truth regarding the events that did come out, he was holding steady with that line, man. When he went on Francesa and he just looked the camera dead in the eye. Mike said it too. Here's the camera right there. You want to say anything? Do you want to tell anybody that you're lying? You want to tell everybody you're telling the truth? And he just, you know, deadpan looked right in and said, I am clean. I do not do PEDs. Once he did that, because I was... I just, like I said, I root for people who people are piling onto. So I was kind of like in his corner a little bit, and I bought into the lawyer bullshit a little bit. Not really. It was more of me wanting to, but whatever. It is what it is. Shows up early, told nobody. It definitely was a good idea because look what happened. He got rushed by like 20, 25 guys in the media who all surrounded him. And that wave is going to be that distraction, that hit on that first day, which would have been tomorrow, has been lessened. Of course, there's going to be another wave, but he kind of did give himself and the Yankees a chance to defuse it and take it on in a couple of different stages, which to me, I don't know how that doesn't make sense. But yes, he should have told them. Then he goes out yesterday, starts banging some baseballs around. He hit 6 home runs in his first day out of 71 swings. And, you know, whatever. You don't read anything into that, but for what it's worth, he did put the ball over the fence 6 times. So with the hip replacements, with the knees, with the inactivity, with the 39-year-old body, it is, I guess, in one way, somewhat refreshing to know that the man has the physical ability to put the ball over the fence, which is more than I am able to do at this point. And I could hit too back in the day. I was an all division player my senior year. Hit 475, but I'm pretty sure even though I roped the crap out of the ball, I'm pretty sure at no point would I have ever been able to hit the ball out of a major league stadium, which sucks. That pissed me off. I just wanted to try. And then he hit another 5 home runs today. His mindset, you know what I mean? This is what you got to think about when you come to A-Rod, and this is what nobody's really kind of touching on. Everybody's saying, well, if A-Rod's going to come to camp, he's going to be a distraction, but yeah, that's because of the media and all the you know, questions regarding whatever. And he's old, so he may not be able to play baseball. The glory days are gone. Obviously, he's not going to hit 50 home runs. We know that. He's got his position basically taken away from him. We know that. So all these things are done to put his ego in check. We're saying what? We're saying he may not make it out of spring training because he might get hurt. He may not hit. We're going to have to give him a lot of at-bats. We're going to have to be patient with him, see where it is. He's looked at and basically being sold to you by the Yankees and by the press as an average role player at this point who maybe can prove to be a good player. And that, in turn, asks you what is his place on this team, not only from a on-the-field standpoint, but in the locker room and in the dugout standpoint. Here's what you have to remember that nobody's really saying. By far and away, Alex Rodriguez is the longest-tenured Yankee. So you're talking about a guy. He's a good-looking guy who is larger-than-life presence, who is... has some of the most historical numbers in the history of baseball, who is in camp, fresh, healthy, and ready to go, with 20 years of baseball experience under his belt. And by all accounts that everything you're hearing, the teammates do like him, especially, you know, the Latino players that he played with last year. Obviously, you know, the Cano, you know, all these guys. So who knows? I don't know about the rest of the league, but the people he plays with, he somehow gets their respect. And I think when you're dealing with A-Rod, this is why. Because when you're dealing with A-Rod, aside from all the pedigree I just mentioned and aside from all the historic numbers and everything we're talking about, this is a guy who sits down and lives for baseball. I said it. That's the difference. One of the big differences between him and Jeter. Jeter was just a larger-than-life figure too. Jeter was an absolute animal, hustle on the field. Never say die, reliability, leader, captain in every possible way. But when Jeter left the baseball field, Jeter was done with baseball. Jeter was off the field and finished. A-Rod is a baseball junkie. Baseball has consumed A-Rod. He likes talking baseball. He likes teaching baseball. Now, you're going to tell me, with this guy walking in here, with his ego in check, with his pedigree, with his history, with his baseball, back of baseball card numbers, and his willingness to go up to all these young guys while still holding the position as easily the longest tenured Yankee. So understand that when all these guys are coming in, McCann, Headley, all these guys are getting their feet wet still as Yankees because, you know, McCann is just a year in. Headley's a half a year in. A-Rod knows the clubhouse. He knows all the workers, the clubhouse attendants, the front office, the people who check you in the freaking front door, the parking. I don't know who, but A-Rod just has a level of comfortability there where he's just been a familiar face. That's got to count for something. He, by default, like it or not, buys me a presence if he can put together anything of a season. Well, let's just say if he's even healthy, if he can even play through spring training, because that's a concern. They're not going to care about A-Rod. I can tell you that. Cashman is going to be on Girardi being like, play him every day. Oh, he's got a twisted ankle. Let him work through it, this and that, because there is no love for Alex Rodriguez in the front office, as we know. And they're going to say that under the guise that he has to play every day because he's missed so much time. So look for – it's not – you know, you heard it here. I don't know. I'm not hoping for you. You could probably tell in my voice I'm still freaking rooting for this asshole for some reason, and I have no idea why. But you could look for them to kind of work him into the ground and put that workload on him that he's not ready for and, you know, in under the guise of quote-unquote to make sure he gets enough looks and he makes sure he gets enough – at bats, season off pitchers, so he's ready to play. But put that aside. If he goes through spring training, hits the ball well, and has a good April, or even a decent April, and just walking around, he's freaking A-Rod. He's going to have one-on-ones. You think he's not going to sit Brian McCann down, and he's not going to win him over one-on-one? Yeah, man, I made some mistakes. I screwed up a little bit. This is what I did wrong. But, you know, this is what the media doesn't know about me, and this is what these people don't know about me. And you know what? I've been watching you up there, and you got the potential to hit 35 home runs in this ballpark. Let's go out tomorrow, a couple hours before before the spring training game or the actual official workout, and let me show you what I've been seeing. You think Brian McCann's not going to go out there with A-Rod? And you think when McCann is not going to be appreciative of that? And what do you think that's going to do? My point is, basically, like it or not, all the things I just mentioned, A-Rod may be the leader of this team. Whether the freaking front office, Brian Cashman, Major League Baseball, every other team, players, coaches in the league, other than the Yankees, likes it, A-Rod may be the leader of this team, which would be funny. And there's nothing they could do about that because that's just how it's going to be. All right, let's take a freaking break from A-Rod. Talk about a couple of just general stuff. Man, I wish the Yankees got us one more arm. You know, the arms were out there. There wasn't too much position players out there to be able to be grabbing from, but we could have got the Scherzer thing. We could have got Shields. And yes, we would have overspent for probably both of them. But at the same time, give us something. As Yankee fans, what we have right now on, excuse me, both sides of the ball, you're talking offense, well, all three sides, offense, defense, and pitching, we don't have a lot that we can, I guess, write down and rely on and say, you know what, we're good there. There's a couple of places we're good. You're never fully good, but as far as, you know, I guess for all intents and purposes, you know you're pretty good in some areas and you like that. But we don't have that. I think Betances, like I said, is a monster, and knock on wood, he should be something that we can hang our hats on. You like to say Gardner, and you like to say Ellsbury as well. But Ellsbury, you know, knock on wood, did great last year, but he gets hurt as well. So who knows? But beyond that, you know, there's not too much that you can say, all right, you can write that down and you don't have to worry about that. One more arm, one more real arm, either Shields, you know, not being the great, Shields or Scherzer. What we could have done was we could have plugged either one of those guys in there. And with that one extra guy, we could have felt pretty good about our pitching staff going in, especially with Nova coming back before or around June. And that would have made me feel good. You know what I mean? Because you know what? That's just one guy. Because you know somebody's going to go down. You know probably two people are going to go down. And that's just one extra guy that we could probably plug in that would get us to where we need to be. And hopefully either become a fixture and a mainstay in the rotation or just, you know, it just basically solidifies things. The bats, still, you know, you don't feel too comfortable with the bats. But if we did get that one other arm, it would have really made a big difference. And then, all right, now, you know what? That takes some pressure off the bats because these guys are going to be good. They're going to eat innings. They're going to get the ball to Betances and everybody else in the bullpen, you know, and we're going to be able to kind of shorten the game up a little bit and not rely so much on the offense. Would have been great. Would have been great to have. I understand why you don't want to. You know what I mean? Because you do. I mean, let's just go back. Well, you hear me reference the golden age in our era of the Yankees. I don't go back to the 78 Yankees. I don't go back to the 61 Yankees. I don't. My golden era, unfortunately, I finally, when I was freaking, what, 22, 23 years old, finally able to get one, was when that, you know, when we got that one in 96. And what made that team? You just got a bunch of guys who were gritty, who were young, who came up together, who knew how to play together, who just had a passion and an energy for the game that started with a passion and an energy for each other and themselves, that they just didn't want to let each other down. And we rode that out. We rode that out through till 2000. And then what happened? 2001, we were right there. 2002, we were right there. And then the slip started to happen. And then what started to happen? We started to do what we're paying for right now. Instead of just kind of like continuing to plug in with the younger guys, we started panicking and we started making either that big trade or that big signing. And I'm going to kind of throw down the list of the people that we either overpaid for or over gave up for, if that makes any sense in the English language, as you guys know. Doesn't, but whatever. When we started getting guys like Giambi, when we started getting guys like Arabu, paying for these guys, Carl Pavana, the worst one of all time, Kei Egawa, when we picked up Randy Johnson, when we got Kevin Brown, and there's a couple other ones, what happened was, and you know what, you got to throw A-Rod in there too, even though we got the one in 2009, you know, I'll throw Messina in there too, even though Messina held it down and was a great pitcher for us, we just started paying a lot of money for these people, and we weren't able to kind of focus and I guess basically allocate more funds towards building our minor league system. Not even that so much, in that we just locked up so many funds that we couldn't get our Paul O'Neills and our Scott Brosiuses. We couldn't even get the guys, because that's what those guys do. Those guys are part of our team. Paul O'Neill was not supposed to come in here as a free agent, or not even a free agent, I'm sorry, he got traded for Roberto Kelly. But that trade was not supposed to bring us in a guy who was going to basically carry us like a Reggie Jackson. Not at all. This is a guy who did what he was supposed to do. He was the warrior. And because we got all these, you know, huge egos and these huge, huge contracts, we could not get fill in with the little pieces around us that would make for a good team. Like your Brosiuses, like your Girardis, like your O'Neills, like your even your Mariano Duncans, even your Chuck Knoblauchs. We couldn't fill these teams. We couldn't fill up like what we got right now. Look what we got. We got Didi Gregorius, and we got what's the guy's second baseman? I forget his name. We got Utley. We got basically guys. Headley. I'm sorry, Headley, who's obviously a major league player, but you know. You're talking about a lot of these guys we have up there. We don't even know if they're Major League Baseball players yet. So now, what does that do next? Now we have to pay them extra. And not only that, we got to give them the years. You know what I mean? So now that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with contracts that make us not able to go after a guy like a Scherzer or a Shields because we made those mistakes so many years ago. I know what I just said. Again, we're going to go back to the me not being a professional journalist or even a professional broadcaster for that matter. And I did not state my claim in the most eloquent way possible. But get this book. It's called The 1996 Yankees, The Birth of a Dynasty. I was living in Pittsburgh, and I would come back because I, you know, operate restaurants, and, you know, sometimes I travel to do that. And I came back to visit New York, and waiting around for happy hour, I just hit up a bookstore, and I just saw that book sitting there, and I grabbed it. I sat down, and I started reading it, and it started out, or at least in the beginning, it was like, if only Buck Showalter had known. And that was like, to me, it was like, holy shit. Like, if only Buck Showalter had known. And their whole premise of that was that if Buck Showalter had known that Mariano Rivera was Mariano Rivera in 1995 when the Yankees lost to the Mariners, when they put Blackjack McDowell in there and Ken Griffey Jr. came around and scored. If Buck Showalter would know, if only Buck had known Mariano was Mariano, you could probably even still today, at the time I read that, it was like, what was it, 2007? They were saying that Buck Showalter would probably still be the manager of the New York Yankees today, which I don't agree with because I think it just worked out perfectly. And in that book, they talked about the Yankee way. And they talked about how it was with George. And George, the boss, who I love and respect and would freaking yearn for the days for him to be back, but his fatal flaw was that he obviously would get rid of young talent because he wanted to win now, and he would get these overpriced, over-the-hill guys who would kind of like, you know, not really the best team guys, who would kind of come in and not be pieces, but kind of like, you know, A-Rod types, planets to themselves. You're talking Jesse Barfield type people. Even Dave Winfield, who I love, never won anything, but you didn't fill in with the right mix of chemistry and the right team. So basically the same, when George Steinbrenner got fired, he got suspended by baseball, and we were forced, I'm one of those Yankee fans that say we, but when the Yankees were forced to rely on their scouts, rely on people like Buck Showalter, people like Gene Michael, they took on a new philosophy, and they constructed a manual that was probably like thick as a, you know, an unabridged Webster's dictionary that basically said this is the Yankee way, and it had every detail mapped out. What is the Yankee way to line up every situation, basically? Like if there's second and third, one out, you know, who, where, what is the cutoff system? What is our philosophy on pitches? What is our philosophy on stealing, on bunting, on this and that? They developed the Yankee way, and they even said it when they finished it. They sat at a table and they basically said, ladies and gentlemen, we created this. This is basically a, it's like the Yankee Bible. It's like basically the way, it's basically a central piece of literature that they could always go to, and there would be an answer for in terms of what the Yankee philosophy on that particular topic was. And they say, we don't claim it's the best way. We don't claim it's the only way. But this is the Yankee way. And a lot of times in anything, in business, in anything, it's not the wrong decision isn't even the worst decision. Indecision, most people will tell you, is the worst thing you can do. So this is the first time that they had a blueprint. That was the word I was looking for. To the direction this franchise wanted to go. And they stopped all that BS about, you know, getting rid of young guys and bringing in, you know, older talent. They almost lost Jeter because I think it was Clyde King, I think, who said, you know what, this guy can't do it. He's wiry, he's weak, he's not going to make it. And I think it was Torrey and a couple of people, Gene Michael, I think, basically just like, no, you're not doing this. We're keeping this kid. We believe in this kid. This is our guy. And could you imagine if that would happen, if we got rid of Derek Jeter in 1995 or early 1996? Can you imagine? Man, but we didn't, so good. So the Yankee way was created, and we got that magical run. Then we got one in 2009, too, which to me was great. I mean, the honest truth is we bought that one. You know what I mean? That was the same year we got. And I see a lot of people say A.J. Burnett was one of the worst signings we've ever had. You can't say that. A.J. Burnett helped us. He helped us that year. Yes, at the end of the year, it was like, holy crap, we may have to take this guy out of the freaking rotation because he doesn't seem to be able to pitch in big spots. But, you know, he was also blaming Jorge back then too. That was kind of weird, a little weird there. You know, I think, does anybody know where he got that freaking shiner from? He just showed up with a black eye. He's doing interviews with a black eye. And it never came out where he got it from. I guarantee you Jorge cracked on one in the clubhouse over some stupid shit. But either way. So that's, you know, talking about the old days. It is what it is. You know, it's what happens when you make a deal with the devil. You get these guys now, and that's the thing. It's not the worst thing. You know you're overpaying for people sometimes, and you know it's not the worst thing in the world. And if you can win two championships with a guy, and in 6 years from now, you're overpaying him, but you got two rings out of it, who's to say that didn't work? That didn't work the way you wanted to work. But, you know, tell that to the people who just become fans, you know, down the road those 6 years later. Or the fans that are, you know, paying or whatever that want to see a winner on the field. You got to sit, you got to wait it out, and you got to wait for those contracts to expire. A la A-Rod. And honestly, the way it's looking, kind of CC Sabathia right now too as well. And that's it. I don't want to end on a bad note, but that's what we're looking at. We're looking at a Yankee team with a bunch of questions. We're looking at a team. And I talk about leader. Who's the leader of this team? There is none. And like I touched on, it very well could be A-Rod. People are saying McCann or Gardner is going to be. Gardner, I think it's Gardner if it's anybody right now. Basically because your leader has to be an everyday player, I think, because you're just not spending enough time if you're in the bullpen. But again, does Gardner have, you know, I think he's a respected guy. You know what I mean? But it's going to go so far when you're hitting 250 and 12 home runs. You know what I mean? I love Gardner. Gardner's one of my favorite players on the Yankees, no doubt about it. We have no star. Our star is Dylan Betances, or Tanaka if he's healthy. Talk about Tanaka. You know what I mean? As people say, it's just a ticking time bomb. You're just going to basically, every pitch to every inning to every start, basically when every start is over, you're going to breathe a sigh of relief if he has no pain. So it's basically, think about this. If it's on everybody's mind and we're all thinking about it, is he okay? Every time he makes a weird face on the mound, did he tweak something? Did he pull something? Did he tear something? If that's the attitude we're having with every single time he pitches, put yourself in his position. You know what kind of mentality you have to have going on? You know what kind of balls you have to go after? Can you imagine? I mean, I don't know. What does this guy do? Does this guy hold back at all? Does this guy wonder? All right, he's got to have the most hypersensitive shoulder in major leagues. I don't know. I don't know how I'd pitch like that. You know, a lot of you are probably former athletes out there. I am as well. And, you know, you have a major injury and it could come back at any time, but you don't think it will. It doesn't necessarily, it's not guaranteed to. And you got to go out there and perform at the highest level in your sport with the pressure of playing for the largest franchise in sports in the world. With all these people watching you, and you just as a foreigner come in and sign a huge contract, man, think about what's going. Everybody's thinking, we're thinking about us and what we're thinking about as far as, you know, will he go? Can we really think about what's going on between his ears every time he steps out onto that mound? And I'll leave you with that to think about that. That's all I got this week, this episode, I should say. Trying to do these, like I said, three times a week or so. Hope you keep listening. Hope you keep commenting. If you heard it on Facebook, please comment below. Really, really want to get this thing going and make it interactive very soon. But like I said, I do want to kind of, as you can very well see, I am still not 100% polished with this thing. And hopefully the more, you know, four or five more of these left, I'll feel a little bit more comfortable. We'll feel a little bit more comfortable together. I'm anxious to hear who the originals are, who's listening from day one, you know what I mean? And looking on taking this thing through wherever it goes and making it interactive. And, you know, we all have stresses in our daily life and we all have things we got to deal with when we got to go to work. And Yankee baseball, the New York Yankees, and our buddy Alex Rodriguez and his crazy band of teammates are hopefully out there to kind of give us some relief to whatever stresses we're going on during the day. And that's all we're trying to do. We're trying to get out here, trying to talk some Yankee baseball, and we're trying to get our mind off the mundane stuff. What else, you guys? I'm going on a cruise, guys. Can't wait. Can't wait for March 17th. Going down to the Caribbean on a Norwegian cruise. And maybe I'll do a podcast from there and shoot some pictures. Maybe we'll have the web up and running by then, or at least the Facebook page. And we'll have some pictures of where we're at, so we can be those obnoxious, you know, vacationers that say stupid shit like, "Oh, it's so hard down here. I got to drink all these margaritas," you know? Yeah. Yeah, I'll be that guy. Thanks for listening, everybody. Appreciate it. Please check me out on Facebook, Yankees and Gravy, as well as Twitter, at Yankees and Gravy. And we'll talk to you next time. Thanks.